some belief that the political evolution of Northwest Territories exemplifies the ideal marriage of Aboriginal and non-native government. It is by no means ideal. It is a relationship of inequalities. They represent governing institutions have been fond of saying that our jurisdictions represent a model of successful living together, which other Canadians can learn from. Now, in the Northwest Territories, they call the governing institutions consensus government. And so far, it has been so. And the reason why is because we are still the majority. And if it came down to party politics, we would be the governing body. And so to safeguard that democracy as defined by many, as long as we're the majority, you're not going to see party politics in the North. You will continue to see consensus government operate, in which we are, our own people are part of that. Where was I? The expectation is still based on Euro-Canadian attitude that they all have the right answers. We are supposed to accept that their political institutions are right, that their system of justice is right, and that their approach to education is right, and that their concept of nationhood and political self-determination are right. Right? I'm here at this pedestal preaching to you, so am I right? and a lot of times, when you create an argument of being right, that argument can lead to wars. You can kill for your belief. But sometimes we never think of doing the right thing. This is the reason why in the 1940s and 50s we saw the arrival of the residential school aimed at forcing our people to embrace value systems and a self-image that was foreign to us. And the whole reason for it was the attitude that Dennis spirituality and culture, our lifestyle, our worldview of the world, and the things in which we believe were all wrong. The nuns and church educators who ran those schools earnestly believed that they were showing us the right way to live. And because they held the basic belief that only non-Aboriginal people have the wisdom to know who and whom to wisdom and who to govern themselves. This same attitude provides the basis for political decision-making throughout the years in which our homeland has been administered by outside governments, mainly because of the attitude that Indians do not really understand what is best for them. And when I was working for Dene Nation, we came up with this series of 16 sentences on the art of stealing human rights, it's called. And we got together. I used to remember a guy by the name of Don Groff. He's from west of here. And what is it called? Waterloo, not Waterloo, but the other place, Kitchener. Yeah. And it was with this person that we sort of got together with the elders and some of the leaders and that. And we came up with these five or 16 different, I think 16 anyways, different ways in which you can steal human rights. And a lot of it has to do with like making them feel like a non-person. Let them blow off a little steam and pretend that, you know, what you're doing for them is in their best interest and that sort of stuff. So we came up with all these different ways in which they view the native person to try to, you know, make him feel that, you know, that, you know, that maybe he is important, but really, you know, like, this paternalistic attitude persists in the philosophy underlying most of the programs designed to create dependency. The responsibility for health care was transferred from the federal government to the government of the Northwest Territories with the understanding that it would provide Aboriginal people with an opportunity to develop and implement a uniquely northern approach to health care services. What we have instead is a series of powerless regional boards dominated by a departmental bureaucracy composed almost exclusively of Southern-trained non-native public servants. Many of our traditional ways of doing things, including custom adoption, Aboriginal justice, and other fundamental aspects of our society, are under siege. And when I was the MLA, custom adoption was something that Aboriginal people exercised many, many years ago. And why it was called custom adoption? It's different than like private adoption. It's different than the legal adoption aspect of it. And back then, when custom adoption took place, it was for a reason. It was for harmony. And so, where there is only girls, custom adoption, a boy. Where there's only boys, custom adoption, a girl. Where there was no children, custom adoption. Grandma and grandpa were also custom adopted. If grandma or grandpa dies, grandma is adopted into your family. So there was always a caring and a sharing kind of an environment. Nobody was ever denied the right to live. Many of our traditional ways of doing things, including custom adoption, Aboriginal justice, and other fundamental aspects of our societies are under siege. As it stands now, the GNWT is making a snowy display of delivering token programs and service, which should have been left in the hands of the Aboriginal people in the first place. The territorial government would have liked the rest of Canada to think that it is doing a lot for the people. In reality, the Aboriginal people are doing a lot for the territorial government. Clearly, the only recourse is to work against the perpetuation of this myth that institutions and values rooted in the history of Euro-Canadians are better than the Aboriginal ways that sustain our people for thousands of years. We must establish institutions and forms of government that draw on our own strength as a people. We must have the freedom to develop a social safety net that incorporates our own notion of family responsibility and interpersonal caring. Much has been said about the issue of Aboriginal self-government, and I certainly do not want to seem repetitive, but it seems that the question again is becoming hung up on the matter of universal definition of self-government and of our inherent rights. And for the Aboriginal people, we do have like what is known as the two orders that we live by, the natural order and the social order. And so based on that, then you look at, for example, the seasons, natural order, night and day, natural order. You sleep when it gets dark, you get up when it gets light. Now you use the switch to control all those orders. It's no longer natural. And then you also have social order. And when we have social order, for example, you cannot isolate anything. It's got to be all together. Our land use map is a social order for development, for example. And it tells you the history of the Dene people, the sacred sites, the settlement areas, the migration areas, the habitat areas, and so on. So the main reason why we did this land use plan, for example, was to have order in development. After all, again, we differ in the way we learn. A lot of European cultures learn in steps of 1 to 5, entrance level to degree, and so on. We learn in stages as Aboriginal people. And you are a baby, you sit up, you crawl, then you walk, and then you talk, and so on. So it goes like that. And there will be a time in that stage where you will learn. And then you get on with your life. And I don't know, but like even the laws itself, it's not natural. Natural order, you know when you become a woman, when you can bear children. Today it's against the law to have a relationship when you're under 16 or whatever the law says it is. But I am a Mitch. My mom had me when she was 13 years old. She was married at 13. The point is that I'm still healthy. The genes in me is still healthy because she was only a young, beautiful girl when she had me. As opposed to when you have it in later in life. When the age is legally right for you to have children, again, your immunity system does create a problem. Maybe that's why we have so much people that are suffering from illnesses that just form to this land. We still have the same rights that our forefathers had before, during and after the signing of the treaties. We have them because we did not choose to give them away. In this sense, our right to self-government is inherent. It is a part of our being, a part of our history, and our contemporary presence on this planet. And if you do that, if you go up north, or any Aboriginal people for that, any Aboriginal community for that matter, the economy creates self-reliance. And your way of life creates self-determination. And self-government comes from that too. So why is it important to be telling you, the people of this church community and to this great city of Toronto? Well, we share the same faith. We have the same common ground. We hold the same passport. The decision of the government of Canada will affect all of us. We drink the same water, breathe the same air, and survive on the same land. So when Canada chooses not to sign the UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights, it affects all of us. You can help to change that. When Canada says it will not accept to share our land and must take ownership of them because that is their policy, it affects all of us. But policy changes when there is a will to change a man. The will to change policies in the political world comes from the people telling governments its policy is unacceptable. You can help. You have a voice. I spoke earlier of finding a new balance between your worldview and our worldview. Many times when Jesus was teaching his people and his disciples, he would tell them a story and and with for those who have eyes and see and ears to hear. We believe that Dene and the land are one. Our people are cohabited, our traditional territory since time immemorial, with all living things. We are as much a part of the ecosystem as the birds in the air, and in the air and the fish in the sea. If the land is destroyed, we are destroyed as people. If the land is taken from us, then we cannot be who we are meant to be. The Dene First Nation is striving to create a balance in our traditional homeland. We are the first Peak Aboriginal government to put good land management before anything else. Since the beginning of our negotiations, we have pushed Canada and the government of the North Territories to agree to a land use plan so that the management tools are in place to clarify and certainty for all stakeholders. No other land claims process has done this. The land use planning began in 2001 by all three parties. The land use, the Dene show approved the land use plan in 2006, and we all now are now still negotiating with Canada and the GNWT on revisions as the attempt to weaken the plan so that the ecosystem becomes more vulnerable and industry has less responsibility. We face other challenges. The review of the Mackenzie Gas Project proposed by Imperial Oil is completed, and the National Energy Board is expected to give its formal approval in September. 44% of the pipeline will be built on our traditional lands. After over 15 years of talks, Canada has not yet recognized either our land rights or a right to self-determination and self-government. We want the Dene show process and the land use plan to be completed before any major development on our land. I do not believe this is unreasonable. A couple of years ago, at one of our leadership meetings, we had discussions about trust. We had been talking about the treaties. As Dene, we inherit trust. It is something we are all born with. In your society, you earn trust. When our elders speak, their words are trusted. So when the Dene leaders say they would agree to treaty of peace and friendship, the people trusted their words. Canada came with a written document, and history has shown Canada wanted more than peace and friendship. Canada wanted our land and the resources in it. As one leader noted, in Euro-Canadian societies, when agreements are made, they write things down and sign them because they do not trust each other. That is not our way. When we say something, we honor it, as we have honored our oral treaties. When Judge Berger held his pipeline hearings in the 1970s, he said the decision of Canada makes on the pipeline, we show what kind of people Canada, Canadians are. As we continue our fight for a just completion of our Dene show process, we, the people of Dene show First Nations, continue to wait to see what kind of a nation this is. I hope you will join me in our prayers for justice. Merci.